God, experiencing Jesus from A to Z. Just a little bit lower on the mic, though, please. Last week we went over A. Aleph was the Hebrew. Anybody remember Aleph? Aleph. A, Alpha, in the Greek. And today we're going to be studying B in that as well. So let's just pray. Go to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for hope. We thank you that you are a father to the fatherless, and that you are here as the comforter. And Lord God, thank you that you are our guide, even unto death. And Lord, thank you so much that you are a healer and that you are a helper. Lord God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are the babe of Bethlehem. You are the Christ. You are the door to heaven. Lord, you are Father to the fatherless, and you are the everlasting Father. You are Emmanuel. You are with us, Lord God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the powerful one. You are omnipotent and omnipresent, omnipotent. Lord, we thank you. You are our all in all. You are everything we need and more, Lord God. You are the great I am, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the shepherd of the flock. Thank you that you are the bishop of our souls. Lord God, you never stop. You are the zenith, Lord. You are everything. You are Yahweh. You are Yeshua. Oh, Lord, you are the A to the Z and everything in between. Thank you that your name is above every name, that at your name even demons have to bow down, Lord God. Sickness has to bow down to the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. God, we pray, help us today. Help us to hear from heaven. Lord God, help us to retain. Lord, feed us with food from heaven today, we ask. By the power of your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit, Lord God, we commit ourselves and our bodies into your hands. We ask you, Lord, to come, move upon us, and have your way. Teach us, Holy Spirit, we ask. In the name of Jesus, be glorified for Jesus' sake and for his glory and honor, we ask. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, that service, you may go home now.
Just to know all that is good.
Yes.
Amen.
Listen, do yourself a favor and go through the alphabet of God. Understand all the names and the titles that Jesus has for that he puts upon himself. And I'm telling you, it will bless your soul. Amen. Amen. So despite the fact that the world produces enough food to feed over 10 billion people. That's probably roughly 2 billion more than the current population. 957 million, nearly 1 billion people worldwide do not have enough food to eat on a regular basis. Think about that. We have enough to feed 10 billion people, and yet 1 billion people are basically deprived of food. They're living in deprivation, poverty. More than 1 billion people live on $1.25 a day. Not enough to even buy a carton of milk. You have 10 billion people that we can feed. 1 billion are starving. 1 billion are making only $1.25 a day. So the food shortage and people starving is not the result of there being a lack of food, but the result of people not having enough money to go and buy that food. Horrible statistics. This is what we're living with today. I believe it's 3 children die every hour or second, I forget, worldwide, from deprivation of food, not having enough food. And as sad as those statistics are, there's an even greater global epidemic that is happening right now. It goes down deeper. You get the vision of what's happening behind me, right? You get that. So I want you for a moment to imagine that in a person's soul. Because that's exactly what we're going through. We're experiencing a spiritual famine in the world, and especially here in America.
80% of all American households own one Bible. 70% own two Bibles. Over half U.S. adults, that's 54%, believe that America would be worse off without a Bible. 54% believe, oh yeah, if we take the Bible out, America would be worse off. Half of Americans affirm that the Bible contains the keys to living a meaningful life. Now, you would think that a lot of Americans then put a lot of value in the Bible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They believe in the Bible, right? 80%, they've got a Bible in their house. 70%, two Bibles. 54% that say if we take the Bible out, man, we're going to be in worse shape in America. Half Americans believe the key to living a meaningful life, it's all in the Bible. It's right there in the Bible. Bible, Bible, Bible. Yet how come only 11% of Americans read the Bible daily? It's a lot of this. We believe, we believe, we believe, but if you really believe it, you would put it into practice, right? If you really believed that the Bible is really essential, that it has the meaning of life, that there's so many things in the Bible, how is it that a 2021 report, recent report, says only 11% of Americans read the Bible? Does that seem kind of strange? The figures are off, doesn't it seem that way?
Yeah.
And a 2021 Barna report says half read the Bible less than twice a year. Some never read the Bible at all. Wait a minute. You've got a Bible. 80% of you have a Bible in your house. Over 54% of you say, yeah, the Bible's really great. Without it, America would be out of it. Another half says, you know, it's got the key to living, yet only 11% are reading it every single day. Half aren't even reading it at all. Doesn't make sense. You know what that's called? That's called a spiritual famine. I showed you the picture of really what a physical famine looks like. But I want you to take that image, and I purposely gave you that image because I want you to see that the majority of people out in the world, especially here in America, that's what they look like, emaciated inside. There's a reason why God gives us pictures to see certain things, to paint another picture regarding the spiritual realm. He gives us a natural picture in order to see deeper into the spiritual realm. And I don't know how many of you read your Bible every day. I pray it's every day. I pray that you go to this book and you pick it up and you eat from it every single day. You absorb what God is trying to say, because in doing so, you're feeding your soul.
Amen.
And I pray that none of you looks like that little child that my heart breaks for, because if that's the case, my heart's going to break for your soul.
Dr. Thomas Schirmacher, Secretary General of Worldwide Evangelical Alliance, said the biggest crisis facing evangelical global church today is the growing lack of biblical literacy worldwide. Bible knowledge is fading away. He said this is the utmost problem we have beyond all theological differences, financial problems, and political questions. He went on to say, in the Western world, that's here in the United States, the percentage of kids from Christian families who stay in the faith is going down. In the Western world, more and more kids that come from evangelical families are not really rooted in the Bible. Wow, that's sad. And he said, in the Western world, here, the percentage of kids from Christian families who stay in the faith is going down. They have no grounding. They have no sure footing. The Bible says to let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. But if that word is not dealt with and not really being put inside of us, there's no hope. And what are the consequences? What are the consequences? Spiritually malnourished. Take that picture home with you today in the spiritual sense. That's really the picture of what's going on with a lot of individuals in America and in some churches, unfortunately. What are the consequences? What are the after effects? What is the result of not filling that void. Because the Bible says that God has planted eternity within our hearts. And if God does not come and fill that vacuum himself, people go out and they try to fill that vacuum with other things. Sex, drugs, alcohol, gambling, you name it. They will try to fill that emptiness inside with something else because they're walking around empty. Well, the vacuum inside of them. Yeah, here it is, right here. You have to do it. And as just as malnourishment can also lead to death, in some cases, God's word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When they don't get the spiritual food, they're destroyed. There's so many people that are walking around, and I include the Christians in this, in churches, that come to church every Sunday, and they, on the outward, they look great, they're smiling. Hey, how's everything? Oh, Pastor, everything's great. Then they leave here and they sob, they go home, they're crying, they're mortified, they don't know what to do. And yet they're trying to give the high sign and saying everything is great. They're depleted inside because unfortunately there's no food getting inside. There's no hope. They're not getting the food that they need to sustain them and help them grow and help them to move on and give them hope and nourishment. It's unfortunate that those young people and older people, when they have nothing to go to, they will try to kill themselves because there is no more hope. You see this girl on the left side on the bottom, 2013, tried to commit suicide, but then survived. Had to go through two facial reconstructive surgeries just to try to get her back. Look how beautiful she is. Look at the girl right next to her, killed herself. Because you know why? Spiritually malnourished, there's no hope inside, there's nothing to look forward, there's no purpose in life, so they figure, what's life worth living? Why should I live? Other people, you find them, this is recorded, you can find it on YouTube. Parents had needles at their arm with a three-year-old kid in the back seat, and they were out of it, and police come to the car and find both the husband and the wife, they're out of it. Overdosing with a three-year-old sitting there in the car seat. Why? Because there's a depletion inside, folks. That's why there's nothing, there's a hunger going on inside people's hearts. They want it to be filled and they're trying anything in it. They'll go to Eastern mysticism, they'll try religions galore, they'll do anything they can to try to fill that void. And it just doesn't happen. So what is the answer? The answer is really simple. Can somebody say simple? God, who inhabits in eternity, who knows everything about all things, all times, and all places, he makes it so simple for us.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
We're out there looking for, like, you know, oh, I've got to go to this doctor, and I have to take this and do this, and I have to climb a mountain, and when I climb the mountain, that's when I'll find, you know, euphoria, and that's when I'll... No, it's really very simple. We're in the alphabet of God, and like I said last week, we did A, and today is the letter B. Let me ask you something. If somebody's starving, what letter, word, starts with the letter B that you could give to them that will help them be better?
Bread.
Thank you. Bread. Simple, isn't it? Simple. B. Today is for the bread of life. That's the solution. Jesus said this, man shall not, woman shall not live by bread
alone.
Yes, bread is the staple of life. Yes, bread is well, is good. You need it to sustain yourself. And people have lived on bread and water for many days. But man and woman shall not live. Their life does not consist just in feeding their flesh, feeding their body. Man and woman shall not live by bread alone. There's more to it. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. You can feed your body, that's great. You'll be nourished, but there's something missing. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Simple.
Simple. Yet it's so simple that it's difficult. Ever notice that? God makes things so simple that it becomes difficult for people to absorb. It can't be that simple. Salvation is a free gift. What do you mean salvation isn't a free? I have to do something, don't I? Don't I have to climb? Remember when I was young, I shared this story with you before, and I was in Italy. I was raised up Roman Catholic. So I went to Italy. I was in Rome. Woo! And then they had these stairs that you had to go up on your knees. Over 100 steps. Cucuzza, I didn't have like brains. I was like, what am I thinking? So dummy me, because I'm Catholic and I'm thinking I have to make my way up to heaven. I have to do stuff. I get on my knees, and every time you have to say a prayer. My knees were really hurting when I got to stair number 100. And I was thanking God for getting me off those stairs. And I shared this yesterday. You know, I went to a priest and I said, listen, I'm just curious. I said, where is the doctrine of transubstantiation? I said, you preach it from the pulpit that this is from God. Can you just give me some information? Because this is something I want to do. I want to make it to heaven. You, some of you know my life, where I was going. And man, I needed to know. I needed to know about heaven. I had to make sure I made it there because, it's not in the Bible. Well, okay, great. Can you tell me where confessing my sins to a priest, you know, absolves me of my sins? Just show me in the Bible. Well, it's not in the Bible. Oh, okay. All right, have a pre-celibacy, because, you know, my mind has thought, maybe I'll be a priest. So, but where does it say that, you know, a priest has to be celibate? Just show me in the food book, the Bible. Show me in here to feed me. Well, it's not in there. Okay, show me where nuns, not in there. Show me the rosary, not in there. I went over 18 questions, and at the end of the 18, I said, Padre, I said, thank you so much for your time. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to stick with the Bible, because what you're saying from the pulpit is not matching up with the Word of God. At the end, you said that it's man-made. Well, listen, I respect your opinion, but I'd rather go by the Word of God, because I have to stand before God one day, and I'd rather account to God for His Word and what He says that I can do rather than what a man tells me to do, because I'm ready to do it. But listen, if you can't back it up with the Scriptures, then let me tell you something. I'm going with the food.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No charge for that, okay? The bread of life. There was an example of this in the Old Testament. God was speaking to a prophet. And this is really amazing. This really brings the whole thing home, if you will. He was talking to Ezekiel, and God said to Ezekiel, feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll. In other words, spiritually speaking, if you're hungry, eat the book. Amen. Spiritually speaking. Now you understand, I'm not talking about, like, you know, taking chunks of this literally with your mouth. But, you know, eat the Word of God.
Amen.
I am giving you. So I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. See, that's what God's Word does. It sweetens everything in life. You're going through bitterness and you read the Word of God, it sweetens things. Amen? Now I want to talk about this letter B in the Hebrew. We talked about A, Aleph, last week. I want to share something. It's Dr. Danny Ben-Gigi, G-I-G-I, this fellow there, professor of Hebrew. He said, if you look at the ancient pictograph or the way it was written in archaic times, the letter B, he said it looks like a house, an inner chamber, and indeed it means in, like in a house, as opposed to the outside world. It's a chamber of protection, it's enclosed, being enclosed, it's being indoors, and the word for house in Hebrew is beit. So beit is the house of or the place of. Be, somebody say beit.
Beit.
Beit. Remember that word. Okay? And then there's another word in Hebrew for bread. And that word is lechem. Can you say lechem?
Lechem.
Lechem. See, every week you're coming in, you're learning some Hebrew. Amen? Aleph, beit. Beit means house. Lechem means bread. Somebody say lechem.
Lechem.
Woo! You are on your way. Graduating Hebrew by the end of May. Now, what happens if you take bait, the house of, the place of, lechem, bread? What if you combine those words? What do you get?
Bethlehem.
House of bread.
Bethlehem. House of bread. Justin is way ahead of the game. There's a song we sing, O Little House of Beit Lechem.
Wow.
O Little House of Beit Lechem. Bethlehem. Beit House of Bread. Did you know that Bethlehem means the house or the place of bread?
Wow. Hallelujah.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Beit Lechem. I want you to say it. Beit
Lechem.
Sam Jr., Beit.
Beit.
Lechem.
Amen.
Amen. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Beth, Hebrew house, Lechem, bread, food. What do you expect to get out of Bethlehem if it's the house of bread?
Nourishment.
Food, right? Does anybody know who was born in Bethlehem? Prophesied 500 years before Jesus even came, the prophet Micah said, Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring forth, and I say out of my spiritual bakery, a ruler for Israel. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. 500 years before Jesus appeared, the prophet Micah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prophesied of a ruler who is going to come into the world. And this ruler was going to be a man. His origin. His, right? But this is not just going to be a man. His origin is eternal. This is not just an ordinary man. This is the eternal man, if you will. And I only know one eternal man. And he was born in Bethlehem. What are the odds of one man being born in Bethlehem like this who would be the savior of the world? You could look up J.T. Stoner's book for that. Isn't it interesting, Jesus, when he's here among the people, what has he said? I am the bread, lechem, that came down from heaven.
Praise the Lord.
I am the bread, lechem, of life, lechem. You hear Jewish people say lechem, to life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. You have to come to this bread. Amen? Imagine having a table set, all there filled enough. A person who's starving just looks at the table and says, no thanks. But there's bread right there for you. It's so simple. No, I got my pride, you know. I don't want to just, you know, hop over everybody. No, it's free. The bread's there. Come and have whatever you like. There's bread for you. Imagine a starving person saying that. You'd have to commit that person. Say, you know, you don't have all your marbles in there. So, out of Bethlehem, Bethlehem, the house of bread, comes the one who says he is the eternal bread, the bread of life. So why was Jesus born in Bethlehem, the bread of life? What was the whole purpose of that? Anybody remember what happened after Joseph and Mary, after Mary gave birth to the child Jesus? Where did they lay him? Anybody remember?
Manger.
A little louder, you know.
Manger.
Manger. Thank you. The manger is actually, in Greek, a donkey's feeding trough. It's a place where animals would go to eat food. This is where they placed Jesus, the bread of life. So here comes Jesus out of Bethlehem, out of the house of bread. There comes the one who says he is the bread of life. And where is he born? In a manger. In Italian, they say mangia. You know what that means? Anybody know what mangia means?
Eat.
What are you supposed to do when the bread is just sitting there? Oh, you know, one of the greatest things when I walk into a bakery and they're making fresh bread, I was trying to do that today. I was praying that I could get something to just get like the bread smell, scent going in here. You know, the fresh bread when it comes out of the, or pizza. Oof. When pizza first comes out of the oven, oh my goodness. Just, I'm in heaven. You get up hot, you put butter on. Oh my goodness. Am I getting you hungry?
Yeah.
Good. I pray that you can feel that spiritually too.
Because
that's what we need.
Amen.
We need to be that hungry to get into the Word of God. Listen, I don't know about you, but before I got born again, I didn't have this accessible to me. I didn't have this. Some people, you know, they say 80%. Well, I wasn't part of that. We had no Bible in our house. We had a lot of other things, but we had no Bible. I didn't know the Bible. And when I first started seeking God, this is what I prayed for. I somehow believed, I said, God, I really believe you are the writer of this book. This is the book that holds all the answers. I need the book. And I shared this the other day, so forgive me for sharing it again. But I didn't want to go into the Christian bookstore because I felt that if I walked through the doors, God's judgment would fall, the whole place would burst in flames if I walked in there. So I didn't want to even go approach anything that was considered holy. I'm unholy. Don't go near anything that is holy, because if you do, it will burn. I had a cousin passed away, Sonny, down in Florida. He says, Johnny, he goes, I asked him, I said, why don't you come to church, Sonny? I said, come on in. He goes, Johnny, he goes, I come into that church. He goes, the place is going to burn down. I said, no. I said, Sonny, I've been there. I said, and it stayed up. I don't know what happened, but it stayed up. But I got a copy of the Word of God. And when I tell you, I was like a little kid in a candy store. I took this book and I ran home. And I mean that. I ran home and I closed the door. I locked myself in the door. And I could see these gold, you know, pages on the edges of the Bible. And I was holding the Bible and I prayed. I said, God, I'm not even worthy to hold this book. I said, but I believe you are the author of this book. So I'm asking you to do me a favor. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me, because you know where I was going, what I was heading. You did something that changed the road. I believe you're there. But God, I really don't know how to read very well. I'm a dropout. I left junior year of high school. I never read a book in my entire life. So I started, and I got hungry. Can somebody say hungry? I got hungry for the truth. I got hungry to understand my purpose in life. I got hungry to understand, are you there? Is there a God? If you are there, then please help me to understand what my purpose is. Do I have eternal life? Because in my field, I was very afraid of dying. I didn't want to die. And I knew a bullet could come anywhere. And two missed me. Flew right by my ear. Or else it would have been lodged in my head in Brooklyn, New York. I'll never forget that night. I would have been dead. And according to this book, if I would have left this earth in that state, I would have been in hell. Not my words, God's words. But this book saved my life. This book changed my life. This book changed the course of my living. This book changed my mind. I was being readjusted. The old man was being pushed aside, and a new man was being created in Christ Jesus. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This book. When I really started to get into this book, and I just share this with you, I never shared this before, not even with my wife, but early on, I used to kneel down and kiss this book. I used to kneel down and just kiss the pages. My father saw me one time, a little tiny kitty guy, you know. He comes up to me and he says, you're nuts. You know, he's a guy who likes to take 5 pounds of frozen meat and slam it across my head. He's rough. He said, you know, you're stupid. What are you doing? I'm kneeling down to a book. What's wrong with you? He said, Dad, I said, God's changing me. He's out there. He's alive. I'm not going to do the other stuff anymore. God changes people. This book changes people. A starving person needs to get into this book. Jesus came from Bethlehem to be the bread of life, and he says, eat. He wants you to partake of the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus is. He is the living bread. The Word of God is alive and powerful. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he or she will live forever. Forever. Well, that's some good bread. And this bread, lechem, which I give for the life of the world, is my body. He went to the cross to take your place and to take my place. We deserve the wrath of God on top of us. But he says, you know what? I'm going to be the bread of life. And I'm going to go to the cross. And I'm going to take the full wrath of my Father upon me. You can go free. If you accept me, if you come by way of me, if you eat of this bread, of myself, of what I'm doing, of the sacrifice that I'm laying down for all humanity, this is the bread I'm giving to every person who wants to eat it. If you want it, it's free. Amen. Are you hungry? Come to the cross. And you will find food and eternal life forever when you partake, when you ingest, when you take in the Son of God, who is the bread of heaven.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Jesus wants to feed your souls. And he says you'll never be hungry again. What happens? What happens when a hungry person is fed? What happens, and we love to see this in the pantry. People come in, they're hungry. We live for this. We live to give food. Amen. Why? Because we want to give more food, and we want to give spiritual food on top
Amen.
Of that.
Amen.
Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. Amen. I was hungry, and you fed me. Wow. Every time somebody comes in, I'm thinking, there's Jesus, and here's an opportunity to feed what is lacking in Christ. He feels it. That little child that we saw, he feels that. And that's why he raises up ministries and raises up people to be able to go out and feed the poor and give drink to people who are thirsty, people who are in prison. He says, when you visit them, you're visiting me. When you clothe the naked, you're clothing me. This is what our life is all about, friends. It's not about us. It's about giving. What Christ has given us, we give back to them. Because they need it. I don't know about you, but I needed it. I was lost and hopeless, and I needed somebody to pray into my life that I could receive the bread of God. And supernaturally, and when I mean supernaturally, a Bible was given to me. I just simply told somebody I was interested in it. A week later, somebody drove up with a brown card and said, are you Catholic or Protestant? I said, I'm kind of in between. He just hands me a Bible.
Hallelujah.
Free! You know why? Because God saw my hungry heart, and he was moving mountains to get to me, because he said, if somebody's hungry out there, I will feed them. And I was so hungry for this. I wouldn't even walk into a Christian bookstore, but God met me on a porch with this guy, to this day I still don't know his name, who handed me the bread of life. And he said, here, take this and eat. I ate, and man, I'm full. That was over 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago. And I haven't stopped eating since then. I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, spiritually, I want to be built up. I want to be fat spiritually.
Amen.
And God says, get in this every single day.
Yes.
People who are fed, you see smiles on their faces. They're rejuvenated. They're happy because nourishment now starts coming into their body. They feel healthy. The same thing is for those that eat of the spiritual bread. Before this woman had the bread of heaven, she was a meth addict. She was gone. She was lost. But then somebody brought her a loaf of bread. And she started eating that bread, and she got better and healthier. Hallelujah. This man also, drug addict, partier, before the bread of life. But then he was going downhill, and somebody offered him the bread from heaven. And he started taking little pieces here and there, and suddenly he started getting spiritual nourishment. God comes down and he blesses individuals like you don't know. There are people out there, people that I know, Rocco Morelli, there's Michael Francis, there's former hookers, now as hookers for Jesus.
Amen.
There are individuals out there who've been changed. Why? Because they have a little taste of the bread from heaven. My people perish for lack of knowledge. What about you? Have you been in the Word? Are you in the Word? Are you eating the spiritual bread? The bread from heaven is very unique. It's unlike anything you'll ever, ever experience. The bread of heaven is universal. The bread of heaven has been translated into more languages than is known as the bestseller of all time. It can reach far and wide. The bread of heaven is also unalterable. You cannot change the Word of God. Now, people can change the Word of God. Jehovah's Witness, they have a New World Translation. They change the Word of God. People can alter the Word of God, but the original Bible is unchangeable. God will not change. He will not alter the thing that has gone out of his lips. It will stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is unchanging. It is unalterable. You can rely on the Word of God. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
It is unrestricted. It goes into all places. Hallelujah. You can find it anywhere. You can download it. You can put it on your phone. There is no excuse for you not having a Bible, especially today. You can go online and even listen to it. If you can't read, you just say audio Bible, and it will play for you. Yeah. God will speak to you, and it is unstoppable. The Bible has motivated social change in many cultures, and in response, the Bible has been seen as a threat leading to people going to great lengths to ban and destroy. Yet it cannot and will not, nor ever will be destroyed.
Amen.
You do a little search on the Bible. It is indestructible. There have been people like Voltaire who wanted to shut the whole thing down. And Voltaire's house, as we explained the other day, who said, you know, what it took 12 apostles to build, I will destroy. Yeah, well, you know what? Voltaire died, and then somebody from Britain came over, and they started a Bible society where they were printing Bibles right from his house. You can't destroy God's Word, no matter what you try to do. It's God's Word. So the question for you today is, have you eaten this bread? There was silence. There's a table that's set. There's a table that's there that's giving you free food. Free food. And the question is, are you eating it? Are you eating the bread of life? Or are you just kind of looking at it? 80% of all American households own one Bible. 70% have two Bibles. 11% read it daily. Somebody say, ouch.
Ouch.
God wants to feed you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to nourish you. But you have to let him. Listen, it's a simple prayer. Remember what Jesus said, the model prayer? Give us this day our what? I'm sorry, how often?
Daily
bread. Somebody said you can't live off the manna of yesterday. You have to live off the manna of today. You need a fresh word. I don't know about you, but I got problems that happen every single day in my life. I have situations that happen every single day in my life. I have to confront things every single day in my life. And you know the sad thing is, if I don't have this in the morning, boy, oh boy. You know, you should come and join us in the morning when we have prayer meeting. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes God just starts downloading things, and it's wonderful because all of a sudden the scriptures will start popping up every single day, and it'll be like a word here, a word here, and a word there, and we get nourished. Our soul gets filled up. So many times I'm blessed because a word comes out of somewhere, and I was like, that's the Holy Spirit. I got to look into that. Amen? Can you stand with me, please? Lord, we need sustenance. We see the statistics, we see what's going on in the world, in the United States especially, possibly in our own homes, Father God, there's a Bible there. And Father, we're just asking that you would reach out into the airways and that you would touch individuals that they don't have a Bible, that they would write this church, Lord God, that they would ask for one, because we want to be a place where a spiritual bakery where the word goes out, Father God. We're asking you to help us, Father, to allow us to be an instrument, to be able to share the word of God with others, especially those that are out there, Father God, who don't have it. We pray, Lord, that you would do a work in their lives like you did in mine. Make them so hungry for the word of God. Lord God, we know that you will move mountains in order to get the Bible, the word of God, into their hands when there is truly a hungry heart. And God, you will reveal yourself just like you did to me, Lord God, through the pages of this living, unique book, this book that is unlike any other book. And Father, we're asking, please, that you would please allow individuals to partake this morning of the bread of life. Those that have come here hungry, Lord, we pray that you would give them nourishment. Lord, we've seen the pictures, naturally speaking, of what individuals look like when they're starving. And Lord God, there is the greater epidemic happening of spiritual starvation happening right now. So God, please increase that number from 11% to 100%, Lord God, where everyone is reading the Word of God, where everyone is nourishing themselves in the Word of God, that you would bring our nation back, Lord God, to the place where the Bible used to be, Lord God, the teaching manual in colleges and high schools, Lord God, in grammar schools. It was the Scriptures, Lord God. And we thank you for that foundation, but Lord, we need you to come back and do it again, Lord. Because we're on a bad course, a wrong course, a course that is spiraling downward. So, Father, have mercy on us in this nation. And, Lord God, let the Bible be revived. Let the reading of the Scriptures be revived, Lord God. Let the hunger for the Word of God be revived, even within your church, Lord God. In Jesus' name, let us get back to the Bible. Right now, if you need Christ in your heart, I just want you to cry out. He'll hear you. He'll answer you just like he did with me. He'll begin to manifest himself, but it takes a hungry heart. It takes a heart that is really sincere with God. I want to know you. I want to go through hoops, spiritual, religious hoops to get to God. He's already provided at the cross. He said it is finished. That's the only place you need to turn is the cross of Christ. Bow down at the cross and accept the work that he did for you there. It is finished, he said. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you. And the Lord grant you shalom. We're going to be taking communion at the table very shortly. But I'm going to ask you just to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart, to move upon you as we sing unto the Lord. And just ask the Lord to help us in this time. In Jesus' name, God bless you.